Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
On this week's episode of Bropostles, we talk about dating apps, we talk about babies, we talk about boomers, all this and more on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Let's hear that podcast ring-a-ling, ding, ding, ding-a-ling, ding. Come on, it's lovely weather for a podcast together with you.
Yay.
It's Christmas time.
It's the Bropostles Christmas episode.
Ooh, I sure hope that those orphans are where we put them, because I haven't checked in.
We never did Patrick and Ethan Save Christmas.
There's still time.
It's a bummer. The one bad thing about the name change was that it was always fun at Christmas time because we could call it Crunchmas.
Crunchmas.
And I really wanted to do like a children's book, How the Grunch Stole Crunchmas. Mm. I thought that would be funny.
Would the Grunch be a center left Catholic pundit?
No, it would be
constantly be on our ass about everything.
No, it would be a thinly veiled Luke Carey. Like, it'd be very much.
That's funny. It would just be a drawing of Luke. Yeah. He'd just be purple or something.
Yeah,
it's funny. I could get behind that.
That'd be funny.
Hey, this is Bropostles. This is a podcast for Catholics who take their faith seriously but not themselves. I'm Ethan.
And I'm Patrick, and we're happy you're here to spending part of your Christmas commute or Christmas traveling with us. We're happy we can keep you company on this plane ride, this 4-hour plane ride to your in-law's house. Put it on 0.75 speed.
Really? Do you think that Ben Shapiro should be deported?
Oh man!
This is born.
I like
that
you've been bringing back some of the classic titles. I really appreciate that.
I have nothing to do with the titles. Thank producer Ryan.
I've been noticing the titles are a little more classic recently. It's not. We're not bowing to the YouTube algorithm. We're bringing back some classics, baby.
We crossed 2,000 subscribers, and then we were like, "All right, we're good. We don't need
the algorithm anymore." No. I mean, come on, you shouldn't have a crush on Lola Bunny.
Bropostles
live from federal prison.
Yeah, these are great.
My brother is dating a witch. This is what the podcast used to be, and this is what the people want.
And there's no discernible change in the metrics. So why did we even do it the other way for anyway?
I don't know. My StreamYard is showing me a recording error.
Awesome.
But it says there's a network connection problem. But I'm still talking to you, so I guess that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's recording on my end. It goes up into the cloud, so I don't think you have to worry about it too much.
Oh, it goes up there, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I think you're fine. This is the last podcast before Christmas.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to record a podcast on Christmas.
You don't think so?
Why'd you say it like that? Why'd you say it in town?
Christmas is on a Thursday. That's right. We're not recording the podcast on Christmas. We can record.
We don't record the podcast on Thursday anyway, Patrick.
Apparently not. We're trying to sleep train Josie, so I've been putting her to bed. It's been good. She slept through the night the other night. She woke up three times last night. So
yeah,
it's a shot in the dark. But we're working on it. We're trying to get her down.
We're about to do that with Henry, but he's got some molars coming through. And so it's like, we can't, you have to like time it between when they're this age. It's like, okay, I can either sleep train and do the, it's like boulders in the sea and you're dodging like in Surf's Up when he's in the rocks and he's trying to save Big Z or whatever. You have to make sure that you don't do two really hard things.
I love when you reference the sacred texts
at the same time. I haven't seen it in a while.
Well Watched Dads is just going to be the
Well Watched Dads just surfs just up 12 times. Surf's Up genuinely should be on Well Watched Dads. That's actually a really good point.
It's a good film. Was Surf's Up DreamWorks?
Surf's Up was, I think, like Big Sky Productions or something like
that. Blue Sky?
Blue Sky, yeah. Or not Blue Sky, the
it was Sony Pictures.
Yeah, it was some like
Blue Sky was robots, it was the Rio movies, it was
anyway. It's good, it's an animated mockumentary, which you don't see too many of.
Yeah, it was right at the peak of mockumentary. It was like right at the when did it come out? 2007. So it was right when The Office was peak and people were like, yeah, we need more of this. We need more people. We need more cuts to people talking to a camera. You know?
And it worked. And you have Shia LaBeouf. So you have like the Catholic guys, like listen to Shia LaBeouf reflect on his faith as a penguin surfing.
And everyone would be like, Hallow would never. Hallow could never
dare,
do it.
Dude, Hallow wouldn't they dare should, put Shia though, LaBeouf dude. On their app. Can you imagine? Just Shia LaBeouf, instead of like the sleep stories or the nighttime, whatever, it's just Shia LaBeouf screaming at you.
They would put Shia LaBeouf on the app, but not Shia LaBeouf as a penguin, which I think would be much better.
Cody from the South Pole on Hallow.
Yeah,
you can listen to him.
Chicken Joe.
Yeah, Chicken Joe from Sheboygan,
Chicken Joe
Wisconsin.
Prays the rosary. You got Jonathan Ruby, Mark Wahlberg, and Chicken Joe.
I'm in. I think I have a new idea for an app.
Annual
so there's membership. There's all these like the character.ai, like where you can talk to an AI version of a fictional character, which is a very dangerous
thing. I'm sure everyone is using that in a healthy, normal way. Yes.
It's weird. I like
they
the
have
one,
Judy Hopps three times right at the top of the menu, but I'm just going to let that slide.
I like the one where they put Mark Grayson from Invincible on the phone and they call the Planet Fitness. He's trying to sign up for a Planet Fitness membership. And he's like, I have to defend Earth from the Viltrumites and I need a gym membership. And the woman's like, what? it's very funny.
That is good.
But I think we should do that. I want to do that, but make all of them Catholic.
Sure.
So it would just be Catholic conversation. There'd be no porn. There'd be no eroticism. It would just be Chicken Joe, will you pray the rosary with me? And he'd be like, sure, man. Do you think that has legs? Do you think I could vibe code that in a weekend and then
I think
launch
you could
it?
Vibe code that in a weekend and then make a 10K a month app.
10K MRR app.
Yes. It's a funny we're seeing with AI what we've seen with Google was there was a review of what AI tools are the most popular, and someone replied something that actually Mark Barnes pointed out about Google. He was like, every year Google comes out with a most searched thing, and he's like, if you look it up, there's just no way that thing has been searched more than pornography. There's just no,
just impossible.
There's just no, they're juicing the stats so no one realizes how much the internet has contributed to degeneracy, and AI is just making it worse. So someone should make it illegal. Like, it needs to be
porn.
Yeah. Like, and AI imitating sex acts, that should be,
but then they'll just be illegal. Doing back alley pornography and it'll be more unsafe for sex workers. Is that really what the world you want, Patrick?
Yes, I think we should go back to a world where it is unsafe to do sex work. Actually, I think that's a great, inhibitor for the people that are on the fence of, should I prostitute myself? I could get shot and addicted to heroin. You know what? I'm going to go get a job at McDonald's instead.
Yes.
You know, that's better for the world, I think, if the world is unsafe for sex workers.
I also resent that argument because it implies that sex work is currently safe. As if there are no mental, spiritual, or emotional damages being done to the people engaged in pornography.
Prostitution, yeah.
Prostitution, what have you. I think...
Anyway, this is an advice.
I do think porn should be illegal, and I think we should make it illegal right now. What else should we make illegal, Patrick?
Arguing about when you should put up your Christmas tree. I actually think that should be illegal.
Okay.
Who cares? Do it when you want. I also think not subscribing to Catholic Pat on Substack should be illegal.
Okay.
I think
I did write an article. I want you to review it before I post
Please.
It because I'm worried that I was too vulnerable and it will just be sad.
No, this is important. I think people need to see the real you.
No, they don't. They don't. They need the veil. I'm like a woman in church. Like, you should not be allowed to see me.
I'm like a woman in church, he says. Incredible. Tell me more ways you're like a woman in church.
I totally have a right to be there. Yep. And my voice does deserve to be heard.
You should. I'm like a woman in church. I should be celebrating Mass.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know any other stereotypes about women in church, because I feel like
there really aren't many.
Yeah. There's stereotypes about women who like work for churches.
Correct.
But if you're just a woman at church, I don't have anything bad to say about you other than why can I see you right now? Get back behind the partition.
Yeah, there's no partition. I think so. Speaking of women in church, there. Yeah. I wrote an article about, and my Substack, I wrote an article about the bishop in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to find a good like photo of him to use. And I forgot, there's a famous photo of him putting his mitre on just like a teenage girl.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, that one's too on the nose. Which is crazy. It's like, I should have used it, but I couldn't find like a high quality version of it. But it was, he just put his mitre on some teenage girl and he's just standing there. And I'm like, you know, that's weird on a couple of levels, right? On a theological, social, you know?
What terrifies me is that the bishops would restrict liturgy across the United States, because can you imagine the backlash against liberal priests in this country?
My greatest fear is that the Latin Mass is decimated across 10 million parishes. Imagine the backlash against boomer bishops.
Against boomer bishops. That would be horrifying.
My friend pointed out something that I think we should be aware of as a young church, is that there are young boomers who, like Bishop Martin, who are 50 something. They're about 60. What?
Can I just say something real quick? It's taken all of my self-control, every ounce of it, to not tweet Bishop Farton over the last week.
I'm so proud of you, dude. So proud of you, man.
Continue.
But he was like, you have to understand the position that these younger boomer bishops are in. The 1960s boomers, they grew up and they saw the 1940s and 1950s boomers just accelerate in power. Just like, they had all the influence, all the control. They could do whatever they wanted. They're all in the upper echelons of the church. They're all cardinals. They're all, because they were a part of the popular ideology at the time, you know, progressive ideologies, relaxing in the liturgy. But now they don't have institutional power, and they see down the tunnel, and they can see the wave of,
and at the other end, it's Sam Hyde and Nick Fuentes, and they're horrified.
And like these trad priests coming through seminary, they see it because they're forming these guys, and they're like, oh no. And so they're trying their best to just like, okay, I'm a bishop. All right, I don't have a lot of time. I need to crack. Like most bishops, I feel, they have this idea of, I'm going to stick around for 2 years and then I'm going to make big changes. But he came out swinging. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just a great, you know, example of what we can expect from certain members of the clergy, is this just like digging the heels in and trying to resist the tradening. And we just have to be aware of that, I think. I'm not saying this to like disparage. I'm saying we should be sympathetic. I think we should be sympathetic of like, you know, you were promised this thing, and that shouldn't have been promised to you. That was wrong. But I understand why you're upset. I get it.
It's difficult to have empathy for boomers because it's not popular at all to have empathy for boomers. It's, everybody has agreed that we don't like them and that we hate them and that there's no redeemable qualities to them. But if you just imagine from the moment you were born, being spoon-fed without any sort of regulation, the belief that, you have the power to overthrow that which has come before you, and you're going to reap all of the rewards possible for doing that in every aspect of society for 30, 40 years. And it's going to enrich you. You're going to be told by everybody that you're doing the right thing. You're going to, you know, all these things. And then all of a sudden, you know, have to like face the consequences of the world you've created, and you have to keep being the underdog somehow, because that's the only way you know how to operate, because that's all you've ever been told in your whole life. It's like, so if you imagine someone in that position whose entire identity and validation of being a quote unquote good person and what that looks like is this, then like you can understand why someone would do those things.
Yes.
That does that mean it's right? No, but no. It just means that you can probably imagine in their shoes what they're thinking, and maybe that would make it more nuanced and a robust conversation.
Father Brown, G.K. Chesterton's Father Brown, was able to solve crimes, he says, because he could picture himself committing those crimes. He understood his sin and his depravity enough that he's like, if I was in that criminal's shoes, we often say like, oh, if I was in that guy's shoes, I would do things differently. No, you wouldn't, because you'd be that guy and he's doing that thing. So yeah. you would do exactly what he's doing in that situation. So there, but before the grace of God goes Patrick Nevy, I think. And it's, you know, I feel very fortunate that I've been formed in the way that I've been formed. And I have pity for leaders like Bishop Martin, whose legacy will be tarnished by the fact that they are seen as tyrants, and they style themselves as liberators. And it's sad. I hope that changes.
Me too.
I hope he gets a little knock on his door from the Apostolic Nuncio, like, hey, cut it out. You know,
in my mind, the nuncio is like Rafiki from The Lion King, and he has a little stick and he can just bop him on the head like he did with Simba. He can just take his stick and you just whack Bishop Martin on the head and say, do you not know what you are doing? And then and then it'll all work out. We watch The Lion King a lot in our house, unfortunately. So that's
really
top of my mind. Yeah.
Lion King.
Peter likes Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata is good.
I like Lion King because it's about a man embracing the fact that he's the king, you know, and he goes back to fight and win and becomes the king. I think that's sick. I think that's way better than like 95% of Disney movies, actually.
I hear you. I think you and I were talking about this, about if you notice Disney movies, or actually in Hollywood in general, the male characters always have to like deal with some kind of internal flaw, like that they have to overcome, whether it's laziness in the case of Simba, or whether it's, you know, selfishness and vanity in the case of, I think, Hercules. I think that's the point of his fatal flaw. But when now that we're moving more towards female characters and female leads, their big thing they have to overcome is recognizing that the power was inside them all along. Like the big flaw that like Pam in The Office has to overcome is that she needs to assert herself more. Like the flaw is that she's not right enough. Like she's too right and she needs to assert herself more. Whereas like every other, the Polar Express, I think, is the best example. I sent you that tweet where it's like all the boys have some kind of problem that Santa's like, be better. And the girl he hands is like, you need to lead more. It's like, that's the only flaw. It's a shame. It's a shame. Girls talks are like that at Steubenville conferences. If you ever happen to go into one of those.
Yeah. I don't know the solution to any of those things.
I think the solution is we change the way we talk to men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we tell men that the power was in them all along?
No, I think that would lead to disastrous consequences.
There was a guy who tried that. He tried about 100 years ago in Germany. You know, it worked for a minute.
Was it Fatherland? Raggedy, fraggedy. No, I think that I was talking to a group. I went out drinking with my brother and his friend. And it was like one of those things where it's like we're out until times that nothing good happens after midnight. But
did you kiss your brother's friends?
No, I gave my brother a little smooch on the forehead. Oh, he's a good little boy. He got engaged.
Sweet boy. Get over.
But the topic,
the drunkenly get over. Get over here. I love you so much.
And I think I had this great conversation with them, and because I was the only one that was married, and marriage was the topic of the conversation because Nick got engaged, and we were the topic of sex came up.
I didn't know Nick got engaged. And, I should text him.
Oh, Nick got engaged. Yeah.
Thanks for letting me know.
Sorry. And the topic of sex came up, and you know, I was talking to them, and I was like, guys, I think you need to understand that the male sex drive, like the desire that you have for that is a good thing that's been given to you by God for a purpose. And it's a symbol of God's, of Christ's undying love for his church. Like that, the purpose of it is to be an icon for Christ's love for his church. And so like when I think a lot of the men's talks that we hear are like the male sex drive is something that needs to be like managed, you know? Mm. And C.S. Lewis does a really good job of symbolizing this in The Great Divorce, where he has this, the man who has like a salamander on his shoulder. Do you remember that scene?
Oh yeah.
Where he's famous. Like, yeah. And he's the only one that is redeemed and goes to heaven, but it's a metaphor for lust. He's got this like poisonous lizard on his shoulder. And the angel's like, do you want me to take this away from you? And he goes, sure. And he goes to take it away. He's like, no, this hurts. Like, don't take it away. But eventually he does. The angel takes it off. He lets the angel take off the salamander, throws it on the ground, and steps on it. And the salamander turns into this horse that he rides up to heaven. And that's an allegory for the John Paul II would call it, the urge, the sexual urge, is that it can be this thing that's like venomous and poisonous if you treat it that way. But it can also be this thing that like enables you to go to heaven. It's the thing that keeps the world existing because it makes people. And it's a good thing. I just think that these guys, they've never heard that before, because for them, like, their sex drive is always something that gets in the way. It's annoying. It leads them into sin and things that they don't want to do. And so it's like, I think we spend a lot of time in the church talking to men about how to like don't watch pornography. Which is like a really easy thing to do because you just don't do it. But then there's not a lot of discussion about, well, what is good about masculinity? I believe this firmly is that
that's why the Freedom Group is so good. It's because they help guys.
The freedomgroup.co is so great.
Patrick, they're not making porn illegal.
Wait, they should. They really should.
Why aren't they doing it?
I think it's because no one's going to help you. And if you want to get rid of pornography, you have to take action. You
know, what if I have tried it and I want the government to make it illegal, but they're not making it illegal, but it's still on my phone. I can still access it, but I want to get rid of it. What do I do? Where do I go?
You have to get rid of the craving. And I guess I take that back. There are people who will help you. It's thefreedomgroup.co, but you have to take action, right? Like, no one's going to do it for you. You have to take action. Go to thefreedomgroup.co, sit down with the guys. They'll talk you through your cravings. They'll talk you through what your core issue is. And then they'll work with you for a year and they will help you get rid of the craving, not just the habit, not just the action, not just the search history. They'll help you get rid of the craving in a year. And if they don't, within the year, they'll work with you for free until you do. So it's basically a guaranteed you're going to get rid of this. If you've heard us talk about it and you haven't gone to thefreedomgroup.co, I question your commitment to getting rid of pornography in your life. I do. I'm not afraid to say it.
If it's your New Year's resolution to finally kick the can out of this thing, I don't know the phrase, but if it's your New Year's resolution to get rid of pornography, go to thefreedomgroup.co. They'll help you out. Go to thefreedomgroup.co. Tell them the Crunch sent you or the Bropostle sent you, whichever. We believe in both. We don't believe in dead naming on this podcast. Thank you to thefreedomgroup.co for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I think we don't talk about masculinity enough, which is counterintuitive because it seems like, you know, masculinity is the default. It seems like, we talk about men too much. Now it's time to talk about feminism. We've been talking about femininity too much. And it's time to add in masculinity to the conversation. You know, like John Paul II wrote The Dignity of Woman. Yeah, we've had our era of feminism in the church, and now it's time to, alongside that, bring in masculinity as alongside and be like, what makes masculinity good? What is the genius of man? You know?
Ooh, the genius of man. I like the sound of that.
The masculine genius. Dr. Deborah Savage wrote an article called The Genius of Man, and it was a corollary to John Paul II's On the Dignity
Feminine
of Women.
Genius. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you would make a lot of people upset if you started talking about the genius of man.
I think so, too. I think it's because we've a lot of the pop TOB stuff has been like, a woman is the crown of creation. And a friend of mine, Faustina, gets all pissed off when people say that because she's like, no, mankind is the crown of creation. Like women is not the crown of creation. It's mankind is the crown of creation, and mankind is masculine and feminine. And you know, it's this kind of like divinization of femininity and the way that we talk about masculinity and femininity in the church today makes like femininity this divine thing and masculinity this earthly thing. And that is a false dichotomy that makes man the source of all sin and woman the source of all goodness, and that's a problem. And that is one thing that drives they can't articulate it, but that's one thing that drives men towards these ideologies that women get all pissed off about, like the Fuentes stuff or like the Manosphere stuff, is because that is a place where they are told that their masculinity is good. The problem is they're also being told that femininity is bad in some cases, and that's a problem. But that's something the church can mitigate, you know? I don't know. That's just one man's opinion.
I do think the Fuentes stuff is a reaction to the divinization of femininity in some way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's entirely like you can point at it and say, well, these guys hate women. I think they more so hate the distortion of the modern expectations of relationships between men and women and about how...
Yes.
In the Christian context, let's set aside the secular context because it's all screwed up anyway. But in the Christian context, for most people, it's like this happy wife, happy life. You're here on earth to serve your wife and serve your family. And that's kind of like your only purpose as a man, which I think is what chafes him and his followers so much because it feels wrong from the outside perspective. When you're inside a marriage, you're like, well, you just don't get it. There's kind of like a happy medium in between where it's like, yes, your purpose as a man is to pick up your cross every day and love your family. At the same time, that doesn't only mean being domesticated and like doing things around the house, you know? So I think there is like a strange like back and forth that needs to happen where these two sides actually have to engage with each other, because I do think the crowning of femininity as divine people and the you know, I'm never going to get married, marriage is gay, people need to like get together, and there needs to be some type of
middle
ground. I don't know how that would ever happen or who,
because it's also
be brave
it's
enough
also
to write on their Substack about it. I'm
it's also
at you.
It's also a problem because neither of those people are getting married, so they don't have the experience of it's easier.
I do think there are some men that think their women, their wives are divine.
That's
how they treat them and how they talk.
I would say by and large, like the feminism crowd, you know, and the people that are making these claims, like Nick Fuentes, the leaders are not married or in good marriages, and it makes a huge difference when you're in a good marriage and
with
you're
someone
like,
who
yeah,
actually loves you and cares about you
and is humble and willing to look at her own sin and not dwell on yours. You know, that's like someone who, I don't know, let's say is patient and kind and doesn't dwell on fall. There's this ringing a bell a little bit. Someone who loves you. It really puts things in perspective, and when you're in a good marriage, you can look at all that nonsense and be like, you guys are crazy. Marriage is awesome. My marriage is awesome. And then, I think people that are in good marriages need to take a step out and say, okay, well, let's imagine I was married to a shrew. Like, let's imagine that the only women I interacted with that were single were like constantly talking about how all they want is a guy who will take out the trash for them. You know, I would start to feel used.
Mm-hmm.
I would start to feel like the only option is for me to become a utility in my own home. And as the Proverbs say, it's better to live on the corner of a rooftop than in a house with a quarrelsome woman. there's a reason why it's written in that gendered way, is because that's an experience that many men find themselves in when they get married, and it's a shame. But when you're not in that situation, you can be like, that's not a big deal. But to many men, that is the whole deal, you know, and it's a problem.
Yeah.
I think the church is in the perfect position to address that, because the church is very pro-woman. But one problem is the church is
I don't
very
think anyone in the church is brave enough to even push back slightly on the
Because the I think because the church is very worried about its image and really wants to be liked by the world, and so we want to make sure that everyone knows we're really on board with this whole feminism thing.
Yeah.
Please, I know we have all male priests, but please we'll let women be Eucharistic ministers. Please. please don't cancel us.
Yeah, I don't know, man. What are we so afraid of, man, as a church? I don't know. We talked about this the other day. What's the worst that could happen?
We want the 60s. The boomers want the 60s Catholicism back so bad. Yeah. They want to be like, Kennedy. You know, we're on top, baby. We're modernizing, right? The church is finally keeping up with the times. You know, we want that.
Nah, man. No, it's not going to work.
Stupid.
It's stupid.
All right. Want to answer some questions?
Yeah, I'd love to answer some questions. That's good reflections. I'm excited for your subsect series, The Genius of Man, to get you canceled off of the face of the earth.
That's actually a great... I'll just rip Dr. Savage's article word for word. And just
genuinely? Yes. I think plagiarism is underrated.
Well, the thing is, like, Dr. Savage's work is fantastic. She's brilliant. And she was the perfect person to write about The Genius of Man, but she's an academic, and it's really hard for academics to write for the average person, unless you're John Paul II. He wrote something that was very accessible to people who were like a step below an academic, and so then those people could make like Theology of the Body for Beginners, like Christopher West did. For all of his virtues and all of his flaws, he did popularize it, right? But, you know, I think Dr. Savage's work is fantastic and should be more widespread. She's great.
Sounds like you're the guy. Most nonfiction writing is just taking academic concepts and making them popular. So why don't you just do that with this? And
then get a book deal. The Stanford Prison Experiment was the most.
And then you could get a book deal with a publishing company. And then you could go through many rounds of edits. And then you could get the book canceled. And then you could go into deep depression for maybe 2 weeks. But then you'll come back and rise from the ashes. And you'll get super popular and X the everything out.
I'm self-publishing everything now. Okay. Everything is going to be self-pub. I'm not gonna waste time anymore. All right.
I think that's fair.
I have like 5 book ideas, and I'm just
unless they give you an advance. It's like, yeah, I'll publish with you, but I need $100,000.
The thing about the advance is that the advance is like what we would make from an advertiser, a sponsor on the show.
That's so pitiful.
Yeah, like the advance is the equivalent of what I would make if I sold 100 copies of a book self-published. Yeah,
I think then we got to find some different publishing houses then. Yeah. Let's call up Penguin Random House and see what their interest is in The Genius of Man.
I don't think they would have much interest.
What is Doubleday up to? Someone get Doubleday.
Who knows? All right. This one comes from DeJimmer. He wants it's a ghost emoji. So should he reach out? I don't know. All right. Hitting up a girl.
I thought it was gonna be a question about a ghost, and I got kind of excited. It's like, oh, it's gonna be a supernatural question.
It's the dating kind of ghost.
Okay.
I'm hitting up a girl I went on 3 dates with a year and a half ago and said, let's be friends. Wait, okay. He said let's be friends after
I would assume
she said let's be friends after ghosting him for a month. Now that she's broken up with a buddy of his for a second time because he wants to go to seminary. Should I reach out to her? To her credit, she seemed kind of embarrassed about ghosting me and has told everyone, apparently the last woman I went on a date with, that I'm a good guy. So she's like she's doing promotional work for you.
I mean, there's no harm in asking. This is years ago. Why not? What could go wrong? She says no.
You guys need to have better triage for your decision making criteria. You know, like you guys need to have better. Like, okay, I forget who said it. It's like there's tattoos, there's haircuts, and there's outfits, right? Like, some decisions are outfits. You can change your outfit if you don't like it. Some decisions are like haircuts. It's a commitment, and it'll take 2 weeks to get over it, but you'll get over it. Some decisions are tattoos. they're irreversible without serious intervention. This is an outfit.
Yeah.
If you fall on your face reaching out to a girl and she rejects you again, you'll just get over it in 2 weeks and you'll forget about it.
Less than. It might take you a day.
Yeah, depending on how emotional you are.
Yeah, this would be like, you know, ripping your pants in public. It's like, that's embarrassing. But
that sucks.
But you have other pants at home that you can change into, you know. Yeah. Just call her. Call her and right now, stop the podcast, call her right now and then immediately post in the Discord how it went.
Be like, hey, I heard you thought I was a good guy.
Hey, people are talking about how you really like me.
People were talking about how you think I'm a catch. I don't know. Whole package. I think that was what they said.
I heard someone say that you yearn for me. Don't say that.
I heard you've been up all night yearning. Want to go get some coffee? Okay, so I asked this question. This question came up, and I didn't know enough about Sacred Spark to answer the question.
Okay.
But someone asked, what are some suggestions for my voice memo on Sacred Spark? And I was like, I don't know what that is. And then Ben
edited just in
it
general.
Say,
oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. He said, once an account is set up, the profile photo and videos of others usually appear blurred. And then the user can listen to audio introductions from other users and see additional information about that person. But until both users initiate a match, the profiles remain blurred. Wait, so this app is like Love is Blind?
their whole philosophy is that they want it to be based on something deeper than physical attraction.
A sacred spark.
A sacred spark, if you will.
I like that. I'm on board.
Personally, I think it's stupid.
No, you can't say that. We want them to sponsor our show.
I'll take your money, but I don't think it makes any sense.
You don't think so?
No, because let's say there's there's this deep emotional connection, and then the person looks like they got hit by a truck when they were born, and it's like, well, sorry, I know you were interested.
This is the premise of the show Love is Blind,
but I don't want to look at you anymore.
Every couple has come out of that. Every couple has come out of that solid. I heard a story. I have never seen Love is Blind, but I was listening to a podcast where they talk about it, and they said that one of the girls on Love is Blind, when she was describing her looks, said that she kind of looks like Megan Fox. And so the guy was like all in.
Awesome.
And then they met, and it was like the connection was tenuous at best. And I was thinking, could you sue someone for that? Be like, I look like Megan Fox. Like, you falsely represented yourself, and now I lost.
Megan Fox could sue her for libel, probably.
For appropriating. Be like, how dare you say I look like that?
Yeah.
Again, I haven't seen the show. This girl is probably lovely, but I think you should be able to sue for that. I like the idea. This is my opinion on dating apps that do things like this. Like, Bumble is different than Tinder. You know, Tinder's like just raw physical attraction the whole nine yards. I like when apps have kind of I like the idea of them having a unique approach to online dating, because so much of online dating can become monotonous and every app is the same damn thing. Like, oh, do you like me? Do you like my hobbies? Do you like my interests? Like the profile thing. I like the, I hear your voice, you know,
I think that's good. I like the voice message thing. I think that's great. I just think you should be able to see what the person looks like too.
They're initially blurred, and then after you match, you can see each other. I'm on board. I'm on board with trying something new.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot. What should you put
really
in your voice?
So the app that my sister-in-law and her new husband of last week, 2 weeks ago, the app that they met on no longer exists. And that was a big running joke during the reception. It's like, that app only existed to get them married, and now it doesn't exist anymore.
Beautiful. I think you should try to be funny or unique. I think if you're a guy, I think if you're a girl, I think if you're a girl, you could put literally whatever you want on the voice memo. It doesn't matter.
This is so good for dudes because dudes, this is actually a pro. A lot of these are like, they're trying to help the women because the women don't want to feel objectified. Yes. I think this is great for the fellas because the fellas always want to be funny and they can't do it over text. They just can't pull it off.
This actually is, I've changed my whole opinion on Sacred Spark because now for the men, because now you have a chance to prove that you have a sick personality and you're really funny before they look at your ugly, stupid face. and decide that they don't want to talk to you. So
because dude, like the blurred photo is actually a pro man thing, because very few men are that attractive that they attract women just via a photo.
Yeah. There's maybe like 1 in 100 guys.
Yeah, that are that much of a peacock. They can just get a girl just by the plumage
existing. You know? Yeah.
And even if they are attractive fellas, they don't have the sauce. Like, they're not male models, you know? Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm a pretty attractive, muscly guy. Here's a photo of me with a fish. You know, that's the classic one. Or it's like them in their truck with their sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. You know, with a PFG shirt on.
It's very Florida examples that you're giving at the moment.
Yeah. Those are all the guys I went to high school with. But they're all married. They have a bunch of kids. They're happy. They married a girl who wears pink camo with a bumper sticker that goes, "Yeah, boys, this is my truck."
Whoa.
I live in the South, brother.
You do live in the South. Sometimes I forget, because you're such a you have such a Rust Belt style to you.
Do I really?
you're very, when I think of you, I think
I went to school in the Rust Belt.
He could have written Hillbilly Elegy and it probably would have been just as good. You know?
That I have a Rust Belt affectation, because I have a lot of alcoholism in my family. That's why.
Not what I was trying to imply at all. What I was trying to say is that
my teeth are all jacked up.
You look like the kind of guy that could have gone to Yale and got picked up by Peter Thiel and got plugged into the CIA's venture capital funds and then pushed to the top of the American political system after just one term in Congress. That's what you seem like to me.
Not even a full term.
Listen,
the Dems got their one term congressman in the presidency. All right, we can get ours in there.
Who? Obama.
Obama. Yeah,
well, he was also CIA. That's the thing. CIA doesn't care.
CIA doesn't care.
No,
they just want a guy.
You do any impressions?
Impressions?
Yeah, for the voice memo.
No, him.
No, for the voice memo.
Yeah, you should do your voice memo as Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. The ladies love a good Stitch impression.
No, that's Jar Jar Binks. Back up. They're in the same register.
They're in the same register, yeah.
Ohana means family.
That's actually not bad.
I got a little too close.
Were you the guy in high school with the Stitch impression?
No.
Or were you a British accent guy?
No, listen, if you do too good of a Stitch impression in high school, there are some women that you will attract that you do not want to be attracting.
Correct. They're wearing cat ears.
Yeah.
Why? And they watch Invader Zim.
Yeah.
And they wear long sleeve shirts with white and black stripes
mm-hmm.
on the sleeves.
And you think for a few minutes, like, maybe there's a chance, maybe there's something here. And then all of your friends pull you off that ledge very fast.
Yeah, dude.
This happened to me probably 5 or 6 times in high school with different Invader Zim.
Got a bunch of Wendy's bags on the floor.
Women. That was my weakness, was the Invader Zim woman in high school. they would suck me in. Their siren song would capture me.
They got you when they started playing Never Shout Never. You just like... Just draw
303 is a really cool band. You're right.
Oh, and let's see. The Ready Set.
Yeah.
Another one.
Anyway, do some impressions. If you have a Trump, this is a great time to practice the Trump.
I'm the best guy, frankly.
Yeah.
Many
we are nuking Venezuela, and unless you match with me, you won't see them ever again. They're going to perish. And I will kill them. Just threatening other countries if she doesn't match with you. I don't know. Try to tell a story, a great story. Do you have a good story that's like a funny story of, like, maybe it's a little self-deprecating, something funny that happened to you, how you got hurt, something embarrassing, you ripped your pants, you know, in public. I think telling like a cool story that's like vulnerable but also kind of funny would be a nice way to just try it. You got to A/B test. Try like 5 different stories in a month. See what happens.
See who you get. See if you get an Invader Zim girl. See if you get, you know.
I think Invader Zim. I don't think there are Invader Zim girls anymore.
No, they watch Hazbin Hotel.
I don't know what that is.
All the Invader Zim girls went to Hazbin Hotel. It's an Amazon Prime show about how the devil is a good guy.
Hasbin Hotel, is that where Catching Foxes stays when they go on vacation?
There it is. All right. Here's a success story. 2 years from pregnant capybara. 2 years ago, a guy asked the dating corner if he should ask a girl out despite his reservations. Now we're married and expecting our first baby. Thank you, Bropostles. And question, what is the best and worst advice for first-time parents? And then she tagged her husband and said, I joined the Discord. Congratulations, pregnant capybara.
I'm so glad that you are having a child. The best advice and worst advice for first-time parents. It goes fast.
Sleep when the baby sleeps.
It goes fast. Enjoy every moment.
Savor it.
Some moments suck. You don't have to enjoy every moment. It's hard. Don't listen to those guys. Oh, I just wish. Oh, man. The one thing I wish the most is that I had spent more time with my kids when they were young. No, dude, get away from that little guy. He's a monster.
Get away from those little heck raisers. Go on a cruise. People I talked to moms who are like older, and they're like, those days were hard, but I miss those days so much. And I think instead of those parents reminding me to take it slow, I should remind those parents how much it sucks. You don't actually miss it. You miss the little baby snuggles. You want a baby snuggle? Here's mine. You can have them. You miss those days? Here you go. You can
nostalgia
take it for the
weekend. Is memory without the pain.
Yes. And of course, I do enjoy my time with my kids. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I think the worst advice is just anything that was, it's hyper specific to someone's kid. You know, like, oh, well, my kid was like this. Like, just, I don't know. You can ignore 99% of parenting advice because literally every single kid is different. It does not matter if someone, I gave my kid rice cakes and we gave him formula and he slept all the way through the night, or we would do this and we did the 7 habits of ecological breastfeeding and it worked perfectly, or we did sleep training, or we did this, like, he's got allergies. Well, we removed all the gluten and we did, you know, like, everybody's got some wacky situation with their kid. Everybody's got their own way of dealing with it. You don't have to listen to any of that crap. Just like do your best with your kid.
No parenting situation is a controlled experiment. There's so many variables that you weren't testing for that could have contributed. You just don't know.
You have no idea. Just do your best. Love your kid. Take care of them. It's normal to be cautious. It's probably okay to be like overly cautious with your first kid because that's how you learn what is and isn't serious. You know?
Yes.
We
had a steep drop off after number two. Like I was like tailing that kid Leo up and down the playground. Like I was right behind him every slide. Like I'd run down to make sure he was okay. And now with Josie, I'm like, oh, she's climbing on rocks. The rocks are how high in the air? She'll be fine. She knows how. You see a kid like almost fall and catch themselves multiple times, you're like, she's not going to hit her head. She's okay.
Yeah.
She'll be fine.
Yeah. You learn. Just know you're going into something you've never done before and you're just going to learn how to do it. It's just
you're
like
gonna be
with
bad
everything.
At it.
And you're going to be bad at it, but you're going to get better. So you will parent your third kid better than you parent your first. It's just how it is.
Yeah, and they'll be more adjusted, and that's why you got to have multiple kids, because the last one will be the one that helps you in retirement. The first one's not going to have any idea what he's doing.
That's why the firstborn son was always a priest, because you messed him up so bad. It's like there's no possible way that he could do anything other than go into seminary to get fixed.
He's got to have his meals paid for by the church for the rest of his life. He cannot take care of himself.
He needs to be flirted with by 40-year-old women.
Oh, no.
You know. Oh, no.
because that, okay. All right. Dating app 101. This will be our last question. Dating app 101. How does someone go from a match on a dating app to actually going on a date? How long should you talk before making plans?
How do I get the car from my driveway to the gas station? How do I do it?
As two guys,
I've got the key in my hand.
I've never used a dating app.
I got the key in my hand. The stick shift is right here. What do I do?
Immediately. There's literally no reason. Okay, let's talk about something called speed to lead. Okay, when you have it, when you're a home services company, you're buying leads, right? You're paying these companies to scrape Google sources for you. They fill out forms. They're like, I need my gutters clean. And they send you the lead and it's hot. You have 5 minutes to respond.
Before
not
they
even
call someone else.
You have like 45 seconds to respond.
Yes.
Because
imagine what you're doing. If you have a need, if you need a plumber and you're going through and you search plumbers in your mirror and you call the first person, they don't pick up. You're not going to wait for them to call you back. You need a plumber.
Precisely.
You're going to call the next person.
Call the next plumber. So in sales, there's a thing called speed to lead. Now, in other sales like mine, the need is more prolonged, so the sales cycle is longer. But you got to treat dating like home services, baby. Right? You got to they want to date now. So when you match, immediately be like, hey, let's get together.
Hey, I hate dating. Have you seen my Google My Business profile?
Once the conversation's over, like, hey, can you leave me a 5-star review? No, I would say sooner rather than later, right? Like, I can understand if someone's like, if they're kind of nervous and they're like, oh, this guy wants to meet me too quickly. That seems kind of sus. Mm-hmm. I can understand that situation. I wouldn't worry about that too much, because if you come off confident, be like, hey, you know, let's meet up. I think the advice of giving your Instagram before you give your phone number is solid, so that, you know, you don't have their number. That's fine. Yeah. But yeah. Like, hey, you want to go for coffee at Starbucks, you know, just go right away. There's really no reason. You know, you talk to strangers all the time. Meeting up in a public place during the daytime is like perfectly fine, you know.
Unfortunately for dating,
as soon as possible.
Like, it's a lot like the advice for parents. There's not any one answer, because each person is different. Each person has different preferences. And so the only way to learn how and when to ask someone out and what time and how to do it is just by doing it a lot and screwing it up a few times. Yep. And eventually you will learn how to feel the vibe, read what she's saying, read between the lines, know how to ask the right questions, know how to come across confidently. It unfortunately, the answer to this boils down to skill issue. Like, you just need more practice. So do the things that Patrick said. That's like the mechanical way to figure it out. But the other way is just by doing it a bunch.
Making mistakes.
Just be confident, and don't be, if you just operate out of a place of confidence and not out of fear, you'll figure it out. Just like move forward.
Because that'll come through. Even over text, it'll come through.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles. Thank you all for being here. We're glad that you're here. We're going to go into the bonus podcast. If you want a bonus episode of the podcast every week, go to patreon.com/bropostles and you will get an extra episode for $10 a month. And that is basically like paying, what is it, $1.25 per episode?
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
What's 10 divided by 8? I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Pretty sick, right? All right. Nobody knows. Not even the calculators can figure it out. You can go to patreon.com/bropostles. Thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring this episode, and we'll see you guys next time.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.